No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Lord, you are holy and worthy of all praise. Lord, this morning I lift Pastor Brian up to you. I ask you to administer to him today. Lord, you know the flu, the illness that he is dealing with this morning. Lord, I pray that you would touch his body. I pray that you would bring healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would strengthen him even at this hour. Encourage him and minister to his flesh. Lord, this morning I got a text from Sharon. A friend of hers' daughter went missing yesterday. Lord, 15-year-old girl in Aurora, not knowing where she's at this morning. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom as to where to look, Father God, that you would speak to this young girl and that she would be able to contact her family, call home. Lord, that she would be found unharmed, unhurt in any way. Lord, we pray that you would intervene in that situation. We pray, Father God, that you would bring that family back together, Lord Jesus. Lord, we know that all things are possible through you. Lord, you can give wisdom. You can give discernment. You can give guidance and direction. Lord, I pray for that this morning. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move in this place, that you would be glorified and honored. Lord, that our hearts would be ready and ripe and listening, Lord God, hearing to what you have to say to us today. Lord, that you would be in control of all things today, Father God. And that most of all, God, you would be glorified, exalted on high today. Lord, we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to start off this morning reading a couple of little short stories, and I do mean short stories that I have found. These particular stories are designed to illustrate a point. You know, we have been walking through the armor of God, being clad in that spiritual armor. We're taking each piece at a time and we're talking about it. And these particular stories that I want to share briefly this morning are designed to illustrate the point of our next piece of armor. So as I read them to you, listen closely. I'm sure you'll get an idea of what the next piece of armor is, but think about how you might be able to apply it to your life as well. I'm going to pull out my spectacles this morning so I can read it. Oh, look, words. That's always a good thing. Listen as I read to you this morning. This is definitely not about me. I was mountain biking in Valley Forge Park alone, which I did on a regular basis. I knew the trails like the back of my hand. This particular ride was a couple of days after a bad storm and a whole lot of flooding. Evidently, the flooding changed the trails quite a bit, with debris scattered all over and logs and the usual obstacles not in their typical places. I came upon a small wooden bridge that's only about a 15-foot span over a small creek. I felt like something was not quite right when I came up on the bridge this time, but stupidly, I proceeded anyways. I flew over the bridge as I normally would, only to find out that the two 10-foot-long planks descending off the far side of the bridge had been moved during the flooding and were now split right down the middle. And as you might have guessed it, my front tire from my bike went right into the void in the middle, dropped probably about 2 to 3 feet to the ground, sending me flying over the handlebars and landing on my helmet. I was also clipped into my bike, as I so often am, so the whole bike came along with me and landed on top of me. I knocked myself out. When I came to later, I looked around wondering what in the world had just happened. And as soon as I saw the split in those planks behind me, I knew instantly what had taken place. I had had a bad spill, but my helmet saved me from any kind of major head injury. I rode back with cold sweats and feeling clammy, but at least I was able to ride back to my truck. I know I sustained a minor concussion that day, but it could have been so much worse if it were not for my helmet. Thank you, helmet. Were you able to pick up on anything there that might apply in your own personal life? You know, we can look at things like, you know, doing something that we do over and over again, thinking we know all that there is to know about it, and so going ahead and doing it on our own when perhaps maybe we shouldn't. We can learn lessons like proceeding without caution, right? Or going faster than we should, maybe. There's lots of lessons we can learn from that particular story. Certainly, the point that he drove home about his helmet may have some lesson for us to learn as well. Let me read another article to you before we continue on. This one posted in the Lansing State Journal. A 36-year-old man dies in a skateboarding accident. It was a death that could have been avoided, officials said. Paul Maxim, who was not wearing a helmet, suffered a skull fracture and other head injuries in an accident at Ramsey Skate Park. He died on Saturday. A simple helmet would have saved his life, said the Lansing fire officer. The article says a few more things and then goes on to report this. Savannah Hayworth, 11, was knocked unconscious after falling into the path of a car. The wheel of the car rolled over her arm and the top of her helmet, but she escaped with only a swollen elbow and a few bruises on her face. Her parents say she would have been killed had she not been wearing her helmet. It's incredible to think about the, this is still the article, it's incredible to think about the absence of a helmet and the difference it can make in a situation. A skateboarding accident can be fatal without a helmet being worn. But a young girl can be run over by a car and survive simply because she was wearing a helmet. I hope the point of these articles became clear to you this morning. We are about to look at the final piece of armor that we are to put on when it comes to all this information regarding our spiritual armor. Today we are going to read about putting on the helmet of salvation. Now, interestingly enough, this is the piece of armor that we put on that Paul actually says the least about. Now, you might ask the question, why is this the least amount of information? My answer to you would be because I think its use goes without saying. I think its importance goes without saying. We're still going to say it this morning. We're still going to talk about it this morning. But the importance of the helmet should be incredibly clear to us. Let's read through our scripture this morning. Of course, we are in Ephesians 6. As we read through our text today, pay attention to the short little phrase that is used in referring to the helmet. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Take the helmet of salvation. I don't think there's any question about the need of this piece of armor, both spiritually and physically, when we talk about battle. Take the helmet of salvation and put it on. As we read through those opening stories this morning, I think it's incredibly clear the difference the helmet can make between life and death. When you're physically talking about a helmet, or spiritually, in our case, when we're talking about the helmet of salvation, the difference that is made between the helmet being on or not being on is huge. We're only going to look a little bit at a couple of the physical attributes that Paul points out, or that Paul would have seen in this physical helmet being on the soldier that he was chained to. First of all, note that this particular helmet that the soldier wore is called the Galia. It was called this because of its particular design. It was made from a very hard metal. It wrapped all the way around the soldier's head and was designed to protect that soldier's head as much as possible. Often, you would find some sort of brim in the front, which was meant to deflect swords. You would find some sort of covering in the back to protect the soldier's neck. And a lot of times you would see those pieces come down the side of the soldier's face. Again, all of these were put there specifically to protect as much of the warrior's head as possible. But it was designed specifically to protect the head against the enemy's battle axe. That was the design and the purpose of the helmet. Now, I think it's pretty obvious what would happen if they didn't have the helmet on designed to protect them against the battle axe, right? I don't think we need to go into detail about that. I think that's pretty clear. This hard protective covering was able to withstand the blow of those axes that a soldier might find while he was in the field. Hello, do you understand the importance of this morning? Yeah. Are we okay? Good. Wasn't sure if we were grasping it yet. There's one other thing that we're going to just briefly touch on that I think is noteworthy when it comes to our comparison between the physical helmet and the spiritual helmet. And that is the fact that these helmets were beautiful. That's an interesting comment, isn't it? Well, we'll get into that in a minute, but these were beautiful helmets. They weren't just designed with a purpose. They were designed with beauty. Now, there was various versions of the Roman helmet. Some of us are very familiar with some of them, but they were all kinds of designs. And all of them, for the most part, had a certain amount of beauty to them. The helmet might have been engraved. There could have been different designs or images in the helmet itself. Fruits, animals, I mean, just different things you could have found in these particular helmets. Sometimes they often had that big decorative plume on the top as well, as you see in that one picture. So not only would the helmet be worn in battle to protect their head, but they were worn by the soldiers for a particular reason. You see, these helmets were designed to make a statement to people. They were designed to point out to people that they were soldiers in the Roman army. Do you remember a few weeks back, we talked about the belt of truth that we buckled on? And I pointed out that that belt was a status symbol. Only the Roman soldiers were allowed to wear that particular belt. And it pointed out to people that they were, in fact, soldiers. Well, the same thing is true with the helmet. These were very particular helmets given out to the Roman soldiers for them to wear. And they wore them with an element of pride. Now, I'm not talking about some kind of arrogant pride, but they wore them with the desire to let everyone know that they had been chosen to be a Roman soldier and to stand up and fight for the king. That's part of the reason they wore the helmets that they wore. That's part of the reason the helmets were so beautiful in their design, so ornate in their design. They put it on saying, "I stand for Rome. I stand for the king. I'm willing to fight for what I believe is right." That was part of the reason that they so proudly wore those helmets that they were given. When we talked a few weeks ago about, again, the breastplate in this case, we stopped and paused and looked at a couple of particular words. Put on the breastplate. Remember when we talked about that? We talked about the fact that that requires purposeful action on our part. We have to pick up that breastplate. We have to put it on. We have to make sure it's securely in place. There's purposeful action there. There's something about the helmet I want to point out too. In the couple little words that Paul uses when he describes the helmet to us, he says this in verse 17. He says, "Take the helmet." Take the helmet. Paul is telling us in those couple little words, first of all, that this is a command. Take it. It's a command. But it's also a gift. Here, take the helmet that I want you to have. Take the gift that I am providing for you. The helmet was not earned. The helmet was given to the soldier. Given so that the soldier's life could be protected. Worn so that he had a little bit of security during the battle. You know, even the greatest of soldiers stumbled every now and again. Kind of like that little girl in our story who stumbled and fell into the path of that car. The greatest of warriors stumbled every now and again. But it was that helmet, more often than not, that would protect them in the midst of the battle. The helmet, if it was in place, could make the difference between life and death for the soldier. Remove the helmet, and I think it's pretty obvious that there was nothing to defend against that battle axe of the enemy. Our helmet, our spiritual helmet, is much like that Roman soldier's physical helmet. Our helmet is strong and durable. Our helmet is designed not just to protect, but our helmet is designed to also make a statement, to also scream out who we belong to and what it is we are doing when we put on our helmet. Our helmet is designed to protect us spiritually. It is given to us. We are to take it and put it on. Does all of this sound familiar? I hope so. If we are not wearing our spiritual helmet, the enemy will recognize that and come after us. He will work hard to go after us. Just as we've talked about with all the other pieces, this one cannot be missing. And this one may be more importantly than any of the others, although they're all important, don't misunderstand me there. The enemy will work hard to manipulate us, to throw us into confusion, to bring accusations at us. I've said this before, the enemy cannot read our minds. He does not know our thoughts. But let me tell you, he will do everything he can do to try to confuse you, to try to throw things at you, to manipulate you, to cause you to go into chaotic panic because you don't know what decision to make or how to cope with something or what to do, because he will play with your mind. But if we have that protective helmet on, we have a guard against the enemy and his wickedness and all the things that he throws at us. What about the beauty of the helmet? We brought up the beauty of the Roman soldier's helmet. What about the beauty of our spiritual helmet? Is there a correlation there? Do we have beauty in our helmet? You better believe we do. The soldier's helmet would stand out in a crowd. That ornate design would be known by everybody. They would instantly say, "That guy's a soldier. That guy's a soldier." Well, the same should be true for you and I. If we are wearing our spiritual helmet today, people all around us should be able to say, "There's a soldier. There's a soldier. They're in the army of Christ, and I can tell because they're wearing that beautifully ordained helmet of salvation." Beauty is not an accident in the design, folks. It's a purpose. It's a gift given to us that we are to take and put on. It is supposed to be the most beautiful gift that we could ever receive or ever wear. And people should clearly be able to see that we are wearing the helmet of salvation. it too, spiritually, should bring an element of pride to us. Again, not a self-righteous, self-centered pride, but spiritual pride. Like the soldier, we, as soldiers in the army of Christ, should be willing to stand up and say, I'm fighting for the King. I got my helmet on and I am proud to say that I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That I am in the army of God. That nothing can stand against me. We should be able to do that same thing. To stand and to show that we represent the King anywhere and everywhere that we go. We are His. I want to take a minute this morning to do something we probably don't do far often enough. I want to review this whole idea of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. We are given very clear direction in Scripture what it means to be saved. There's a little section in Scripture, also written by Paul, that we have come to know as the Romans Road. Beautifully laid out for anyone to understand this concept of salvation. And we need to remember this from time to time. You know, far too often as believers in Jesus Christ, we start wandering along just kind of out of muscle memory. We just kind of move along thinking we got it all figured out and we're good to go. We need to stop and remember the reality of things sometime. Whether we've been saved for an hour, a year, or 100 years, we need to remember what Christ did for us. And we need to remember what Scripture says about each and every one of us individually. For example, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want you all to know this morning, I'm not perfect. I think you already know that. I'm not perfect. I'm just a person like you are. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers. I slip up from time to time. You do too. We are not perfect people, folks. We have to remember we are sinners. It's an unfortunate curse that dates back all the way to the beginning. We are sinners and we have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Because we are sinners, born into this world as sinners, the wages of that sin is death. If we go through life and we never make any changes or never do anything different because of that sinful nature we were born into, then the result for us is death. Now, someone will look at you and say, well, aren't we all going to die? Yeah, we are all going to die physically. But this isn't talking about physical death. This is talking about spiritual death. Because when our life passes from this earth, we have one of two destinations for all eternity. Either in the presence of God our Creator, or separated from God our Creator. And I don't know about you, but try to get your head wrapped around the idea that eternity is a very long time. I would much rather be in the presence of my Creator than separated from my Creator. Romans 5:8. God demonstrated His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to know that's an incredibly important statement to grasp. We didn't have to do A, B, and C first. We didn't have to change this element of our life first. We didn't have to earn our salvation. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, we know the whole rest of the story as well. Not only did he die, he went into Hades, conquered hell and death, rose again in 3 days, and ascended to the right hand of the Father. Because of all of that, we have the opportunity to be saved as well. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guess what? Again, it doesn't say, I have to do this first, or I have to do that first. It says, call on the name of the Lord, and we will be saved. Scripture tells us, believe in our heart, confess with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And we too can receive that salvation. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We need to stop every now and again, at least, and reread that section of Scripture on our own. We cannot take salvation for granted, folks. We cannot just go through life lazily thinking everything is perfect. There was a cost to our salvation. And Jesus has come to you personally and said, I've got this beautifully ornate helmet that I designed just for you. Would you take this helmet? Would you put this helmet on? Would you let people know that you stand for me? That you're one of my chosen soldiers? Would you do that? It's a gift given, folks, that we have to take. Do we get that? Do you get the visual that Jesus is standing in front of you saying, here's your helmet. Here's your helmet. Each one may be a little different. Each one designed for us specifically. Each one just as beautiful as the next. But here's your helmet. Now you have a decision to make. Are you going to reach back and take that helmet? Or are you going to look at him and say, no thanks? Or are you going to look at him and say, maybe later? I'm a little tired right now. I don't feel like carrying the helmet. I'm not quite sure I'm where I need to be, so I don't want to take it just yet. I need a little more convincing. Maybe something else will help me understand. The Savior, the Creator of the universe, has a helmet for you. Will you take it? Paul says, take the helmet of salvation. While we're still sinners, take the helmet of salvation. Take it. It's for you. Will you willingly accept it? I guarantee if you take the helmet and put that helmet on, it'll change your life. Things will never be the same. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not standing here telling you life will be perfect. I'm not standing here telling you life will be without trials. Because the whole idea of the spiritual armor is that we can stand strong in the midst of the battle. Because there's going to be battles. They are going to happen. But I'm telling you, if you put on that helmet, life will be very different. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That helmet of salvation will start the process of changing your mindset, completely changing your mindset. Our minds, understand this, folks, our minds are a battlefield. Our minds are a battlefield, and the outcome of those battles depends on our helmet and the course that our life takes. If we're wearing the helmet of salvation, the course that we choose will be much different than the course we would choose without that helmet. Trust me. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. When we take that helmet, we can no longer live a life of doubt or confusion or wondering. We must take that helmet knowing that our hope is in Christ and that the enemy, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, can no longer affect our lives the way he did before. We have on now the armor, most specifically this morning, that helmet that is protecting our thoughts, our ideas. It tells us where to put our faith, our hope, our trust. It renews our minds in Christ and takes them off of this world. I want to reread what I just read in Hebrews 11:6. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Let me say that one more time. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It doesn't say He rewards those who pick up the Bible and dust it off once a quarter and read a verse. It doesn't say He rewards those who decide to stop for 30 seconds and pray every 6 months. Folks, He rewards those who do what? Earnestly seek Him. If you're not sure what it means to earnestly seek Him, go look that up later today. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We cannot doubt. We cannot fall to the side. We cannot say He's not important, His word's not important, prayer's not important. We cannot say all of those things and yet still claim to earnestly seek Him. Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If I am earnestly seeking my career, where's my heart? If I am earnestly seeking my stock portfolio, where's my heart? He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Do we pursue all the things of this earth, or do we pursue our eternity that is to come? Again, don't misunderstand Pastor Kurt this morning. There's nothing wrong with your job or your career. There's nothing wrong with your stock portfolio. I'm not condemning any of those things. They're all fine. They all have their place. It's all good. But what's your priority in life? What do you seek first in life? God, give me this and then I'll worship you? God, help me through this struggle and then I'll praise your name? Or God, I will glorify you no matter what happens around me. Which direction do we take? What is our thought process? How do we go after it? Are we focused on eternal things? Or are we focused on worldly things? Where is our mindset? 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not he gives us victory through our determination to do better and to think more spiritually. He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Our victory is truly not our own. Our victory comes from Christ. He allows us to have that victory. He guides us so that we can have that victory. He leads us where we need to go. And the victory is already won. Christ has nothing else to prove, folks. He has defeated Satan. He has defeated the enemy. The war is over. When we fight the fights that we fight, we are fighting from victory. I believe we said this not so long ago in the Wednesday night class that we were doing. It's not fighting for victory. It's fighting from victory. We have been given the victory. We can fight from victory in and through Christ. He is our hope. Psalm 73, 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire. We are to put our hope in Christ. Our hope for eternity that comes through salvation by the helmet that He is handing us. All we got to do is take it and put it on. Our hope comes from Christ alone. All of our hope comes through Christ alone. It's not misdirected. It's not misplaced. There's not 14 other avenues we can take. Our hope is through Christ alone. He is handing us that helmet. I don't care what anybody else wants to tell you. There's no other side roads leading there. There's nobody else that has a helmet that's like his helmet. Christ alone can hand you the helmet of salvation. It's up to you whether or not you're going to take it and put it on. When we put it on, it helps us to destroy the strongholds in our minds, in our lives, that the enemy has tried to set up against us. It is our daily protection and deliverance from all of the enemy's schemes, all of the trickery that he has devised to make you and I stumble and fall. The enemy will never stop trying to defeat us. The enemy will never stop trying to tear you down, to tear me down. It is up to us to put on the full armor of God so that we know that we can stand firm against the devil's schemes. We can put on the helmet of salvation so that when the devil throws those road bumps into our lives or those split roads into our lives and we fall into them, we might go flying, but guess what? We are not going to get hurt. Maybe a few bumps and bruises. Maybe we'll, like that biker, be disoriented for a little bit. But we'll be able to stand back up and realize, my God is here to protect me. My God is here to keep me safe. Satan, you can try all the trickery you want to try. But with the helmet of salvation on, I have the protection that I need against your crazy schemes. We may experience a little pain in the course of our life, but it won't be fatal, spiritually speaking, as long as we're wearing that helmet. As long as it is strapped on and in place. The helmet of salvation given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here, take it. It's yours. Lord, help us to understand the precious gift you have given us, this helmet of salvation. Lord, help us to understand the beauty of the gift you have given us. Lord, I pray that those of us who have already taken that helmet and put it on will make sure it is securely in place. Make sure it is strapped on and helping us guard against the enemy's battle axe today. Lord, if we have not yet taken that helmet, that gift that you have for us, Lord, help us to understand the importance of that precious, precious gift of salvation. Lord, there's not a one of us hearing this that don't have the opportunity right here, right now, to reach back to you and say, yes, I accept the gift that you have created for me. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do that if we've not done it already. Help us to take that helmet. Help us to put it on. Help us, as the Word said, to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. Help our minds and hearts to be renewed and protected. Lord, help our lives to be changed today. Father, I thank you and I praise you for your incredible blessings today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we close, I just want to throw it out there. If you have not taken that helmet and put it on, don't delay in making that choice. We have no idea the brevity of our life. We have no idea what tomorrow brings. My heart aches for this 15-year-old little girl who's lost out there somewhere. And she had no idea that that was what was going to happen to her yesterday. I don't know her life, but I certainly pray she has a helmet on. I certainly pray she has that protection on. Folks, if Jesus is standing in front of you, which he is, and offering you that helmet, don't delay in taking it. If you need to understand more about what that means, talk to me after service. Talk to somebody else, an elder, a deacon, Jody, one of us. Talk to us after service. And we'll be glad to share with you more about what that means.
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I would. Lord God, the whole reason we live is to worship you, God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us each and every day, God, to clothe ourselves in your armor, Lord Jesus. Lord, again, put on us the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Put your helmet of salvation upon our heads and shod our feet in preparation for the gospel of peace. And God, help us to stand against the attacks of the enemy through holding that shield of faith and sword of the Spirit. God, guide and direct us in this day and in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, God, that we, God, would honor you and please you.